Grace and peace are yours in abundance in your knowledge of God and your Savior, Jesus Christ. God's word for us today comes from the gospel lesson that was read previously from Matthew 23. We hear Jesus say in a very memorable way, "Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you are like whitewashed tombs, which outwardly appear beautiful, but within are full of dead people's bones and all uncleanness." I'm sure you've heard this before. Sometimes people object to Christianity by saying things like, "There are too many hypocrites in the church." I know a pastor who used to respond to that by saying, "Well, come on in, there's always room for one more." And people still talk to him. But it raises the question, who among us isn't guilty of a little play acting about our religion? Problem is, we're usually not fooling anyone. Another story. Rather pompous pastor was once teaching confirmation class and trying to impress upon the students the value of living a Christian life. And after a rather lengthy introduction, the pastor asked his payoff question, "Why do people call me a Christian?" One little youngster volunteered, "Maybe it's because they don't know you." No word on whether they made their confirmation that year. Who among us doesn't have the public face and the private face? And who among us doesn't know the embarrassment of letting the mask slip and exposing the private face for all to see? Although it's possible for us to not practice what we preach, God calls you and me to live out true religion, which means that we say with both our lips and our lives, "I have not made my goodness my trust, I have made Jesus my trust." In each gospel, and we heard it today in Matthew, Jesus spends a significant amount of time speaking out against the Pharisees, who are well known for proudly calling attention to their own good deeds, their own goodness, but did not show compassion to others. In other words, they did not practice what they preached. Well, they did a lot of good things. But the question is why? Nobody likes insincerity. But we're probably better at spotting insincerity in others than we are spotting it in ourselves. Same goes for pride, by the way. But the insincerity of a phony person is eventually discovered. Some clues to pinpointing a phony is phonies like to use people. Phonies are usually thinking me first. And the worst phony of all is the phony Christian. Hypocritical phony Christians can hurt the faith of others. And it's so insidious because they eventually come to believe their own lies. Perhaps the scariest thing about phony religion is how quietly it sneaks into my heart and how easily it convinces me of this beautiful lie. I do good things, therefore I'm good, and if I'm good, God must bless me. You heard me right. That's a lie. A beautiful lie. One that resonates with us very deeply, but a lie nonetheless. If only good people are accepted by God, who's left? Don't think God can be fooled. Don't think God can be thrown off by a few decoys left here and there, a few good deeds just to cover our bases. The Pharisees followed approximately 613 rules that interpreted the commands of God. And Jesus still described them as whitewashed tombs. Beautiful on the outside, and on the inside, filled with death. Because their hearts were far away from God. They were devoted to doing good things. They were devoted to inflating their resume, and somehow at the same time, they were not in love with God. Does that sound familiar? Well, don't be afraid. Jesus did not come looking for quote-unquote good people. Nowhere does Jesus say, I'm building my church and good people only need apply. Nowhere does he say, the people I've come to forgive are the people who have proven they don't really need it. Jesus confounded the do-gooders and astounded the outsiders by claiming that the type of people God wants are people who are painfully aware of how good they are not. That's so important, it bears repeating. The type of people God wants are people who are painfully, painfully aware of how good they are not. The renewal of true religion happens when we confess that the religion that rests on our own goodness is false. True religion happens when we know at our gut level that we are lost sheep who have been found by a good shepherd. This is the true Christian faith. You have a God who runs to you, who receives you, who communes with you. He does not leave you alone in your sins, but changes your heart with his love so that you are able to say, of course there is hope for others. Look what he's done with someone like me. Can you see in your life where false religion is overcome by the true religion that starts at the cross of Jesus? The renewal of true religion happens when we confess that the religion of trusting in our own goodness is false. The focus is all wrong. True religion locks into place when we make sure that our focus is Jesus. In his suffering, he paid the price I should have had to pay for my sins, but he wouldn't let me. I know in my heart of hearts that I do not do good for good reasons, that I am not essentially good in myself, but I know I am forgiven and redeemed and restored. In spite of my half-hearted and hypocritical attempts to do good, Jesus gives me His goodness, invites me to wear it as if it were my own. We need to become better at communicating this, at holding on to this, at saying this at all times in our lives, especially when there's conflict, so that repentance leading to forgiveness becomes a way of life. We need to say this to our children so they don't go around burdened with the guilt of not being good, but are free in the joy of being forgiven. We need to say this in our church's proclamation so that no one fails to come in here because they feel unworthy. How many times have you heard it? If I went into the church, the roof would collapse. The walls would fall in. I've yet to see that happen. And we need to say this in our congregation, that Jesus gives me His goodness. There is not one good except God. We need to say it, rehearse it, speak it, live it, so that no one who enters this place leaves without being invited to experience real forgiveness of sins and renewal in Jesus Christ. A minister once overheard a woman who was a member of the church talking to a stranger that had shown up that day. And she was sitting in the back pew, and the member approached her and said, "May I help you?" And the woman said, "No, I just came into this church to pray. I'm really not a member anywhere." "Well," the woman said, "I want you to know that whatever burdens you may have, you don't need to bear them alone. Our people will help you to bear your cross." The renewal of true religion happens when you remember just how much you have been helped by Christ, and you look for someone else to help. It's service rendered not out of fear, not even out of obligation, but out of thankfulness. Or, to say it another way, you do what you do because you love Jesus. To be loved by Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and to love Him in return, and to love other people as an offshoot of that relationship, goes beyond mere religion. It's the life we're all looking for. And it's here for you in the good news of a Savior who has even gone to the cross to purchase and redeem your soul. Let's pray. Glory be to you, Lord Jesus, who in bitter pains poured for me the lifeblood from your sacred veins. Here we see what you are willing to do in order to enter into a relationship with us, we who are so often saying one thing and doing another, lacking integrity in our walk with you, that doesn't prevent you ever from approaching us, calling us to repentance, and offering us the sweetness of gospel forgiveness and grace. Grace that you completely paid for on your own and so generously pour out to us as pure and free gift. fill us with this again today. Holy Spirit, please allow us to see the precious nature of the gospel. And may it cause us to lay our lives before you. In Jesus we ask it. Amen.